Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan Bouchard.
Braden Holtby!
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point. And as always, I'm speaking to you live to tape from Glen Burnie, Maryland. And it's another week of Caps hockey that we're going to be talking about. And I'm trying to contain my absolute and utter contempt, as you can probably tell. So, as Anna posted on our Facebook page, yes, it's going to be a very interesting episode. So, speaking of the mermaid, here she is, live to tape, also from beautiful Centerville, Virginia.
Yes.
Anna, won't you come on and talk Caps hockey with me? Please.
No, I would love to, especially after all the stuff that went down this week. This has been kind of a roller coaster.
Went down.
Yeah.
That's a very, very interesting choice of words.
Isn't it? It's kind of a favorite.
Yeah.
I'm gonna start the show off that way. Let's do it.
Yeah, why not? Why not?
And mix it up a little bit.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, you on the other side of the earbuds, the speakers, what have you, want to apologize beforehand. It seems my little kitty cat, BJ Oshie, is acting up a bit. He's choosing now to, he's a little angry as well, even though I just fed him and he shouldn't be angry. But if you hear him in the background, they are not.
Yeah, they totally are.
But if you hear a loud meowing in the background, that will be him spouting off about, I'm sure, his view of the world. So,
of course,
that'll be that. Okay. Well. All right. So we, of course, cover the on ice stuff as it happens as well, but being that we're fans of the team in general, we also cover on ice major goings on as well. And I understand there was one that you, dear mermaid, had the pleasure and privilege of attending.
Yes.
Why don't you go ahead and tell us about it?
Okay. So Wednesday night, I had an opportunity to drive an hour and a half or so into Crofton, Maryland to attend that, the Laughlin Family Foundation, their first annual party. And it was fantastic. There aren't enough words to describe how much love was in that room for Linda, for, you know, just other people who were there, for a plethora of reasons. And of course, I went to represent David, my student who passed a couple months ago from pediatric brain cancer, which happens to be one of the rare cancers that the Laughlin family supports. So this was really, it was really amazing. I was surprised. I wish I could say it was like this really, over the top, spontaneous, cool way of finding out that I was going to this less than 24 hours beforehand. But I had asked my husband when I think you and I were talking about, like, we have to go to this event and it'll be so fantastic. And I was going out of town to that B&B with my friend that weekend. And I just said, hey, if it's in the cards, like, this would be a really awesome birthday present, but, no worries. And it was radio silent. Like, he didn't even respond. And then here I am at school on Tuesday, and I get this email, and it literally says, holy shit, forgot you're doing this tomorrow. And there was my ticket. So
yikes.
Yeah, I was like, wait, what? He's like, I totally forgot. I forgot this for you. I got this for you. So happy early birthday. Have a great time. I'm like, okay. And now I'm like desperately looking to see if there's anybody going. I mean, it's like, you know, yes, I can be social, but it's like, this is like awkward. It's like going to a wedding and like, you only know the bride or the groom who you know are going to be completely occupied. So you're just like, okay. So anyway, so I got there, you know, and of course it was beautifully set up. It was very much set up like a wedding, ironically, a reception, tons of tables, circle tables of 10, and then like larger banquet tables in the back, and locker beer, you know, flowing, and open bar. And I will say, I'm not like a huge like beer connoisseur, but because I've had my, you know, my Bud Lights and whatever, but I will say that was a damn good beer. It was crisp. It was light. It was smooth. It wasn't hoppy. Like, I hate that, like, oh, aftertaste. You're like, what the hell is that? Yeah, it was just good. It was good stuff. And lots of people were raving about it. And they were very awesome, you know, about promoting it behind the bar, but you could literally get anything. So when I walked in alone, I went towards the auction table, which had so many things that I'm like, why do I have a teacher salary? You know, signed, you know, Holtby jersey, Backstrom jersey. You know, I'm like so many things, but then also like, you know, a World Series signed Zimmerman ball from the Nats. Like, that's incredible. And then there's always, you know, somebody donates a week or something in to Florida or something like that. And there was just like really cool stuff. And then more people started to come in, and I still didn't know anybody because it was like everybody came in and like, hey, I haven't seen you forever. And I'm like, oh, no, I'll just stand over here. But I people watched, and that was a good time. And I think I can officially say on the air, I have a huge crush on John Walton. Huge.
Well, yeah, I can see that. He's not a bad looking dude.
He's got
a good set of pipes on him.
Yeah.
Very, very pleasant.
Very much so. And he's tall. Like, I that didn't realize. Yeah. So my like crush moment, I was like, huh, I wish I had, you know, the strength to go up and be like, hey, big fan. You know, we chat on Twitter sometimes and Instagram and, but I got like tongue tied because everybody wanted his attention. And then Joe B was there. And of course, everyone wanted his attention and locker. So, but for me, I was okay. Like, I kind of stood back at like a standing table. I was able to watch these people come in. Yes.
So you were kind of not really a wallflower, but kind of a polite observer, as it were.
Yeah.
Not like, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Like I wasn't creepy about it. Like I certainly wasn't stalking John Walton. I've, you know, been a fan of his for a while. And, but of course to see him in person, I was like, he's like a really good looking guy. And very personable, obviously, with everybody but me, because I didn't have, you know, the nerve to go up and introduce myself. That's just not my thing. Like, I don't know, for some reason. And I know I wanted to take all these pictures and do all this stuff, but it just didn't seem like the right time, you know, for whatever reason.
I totally get that.
Okay.
We're you know, this show is, you know, it kills me to admit it, but yeah, we're in the grand scheme of things. Yeah. We're kind of small potatoes. We don't have a machine behind us, like, you know, Japers Rink does. You know, right. We don't have a whole studio to ourselves like other podcasts do.
Right.
We're not this giant blog that self promotes at every turn. You know, we're just a fan-made podcast that, you know, tries to serve the community as best we can. I'm not apologizing or making excuses for that. I'm just saying, you know, it is what it is.
Right. Well, and it's, you know, here's the table, like just as an example, here's a table of gentlemen that were all talking. And I was like, God, how do I know? This is like one guy looks so familiar. You know, do you ever see, well, I'm sure you do, he always puts the players' faces on the shirts. Do you ever see that?
The guy that makes the t-shirts or the sweaters I don't know him by name, but yes, I have heard of him.
Yeah. And I mean, nice as could be, you know, kind of was like, hey, how's it going kind of thing. But he's there and all of a sudden Ian comes in from Russian Machine and everyone just is like, bye, I haven't seen you forever. And yeah, it just, you know, wasn't a situation for me to walk up to. However, I did have an opportunity to speak with a couple that came over to my little standing table. And she was one of the nurses that worked with Linda during her treatments. And that's why she was there. So I had a chance to talk about David and why I was there. And she was going to introduce me to Linda. But I mean, there was like 300 plus people there. I was like, if it happens, well, amazing.
Yeah.
But, she was the star.
Would have been right. Would have been nice if you, if you would have been able to talk to Linda and or Locker for that matter.
Exactly. But trust me. There were times that I'm like, okay, look, there's Wes Johnson and he's so amazing. And I'm such a huge fan. And he would like walk right past me and I would be like, hey, and then someone would call him and I'd be like, okay, this is not in the cards. But I did wind up making friends with a whole group of coworkers that came, who were all a veterinary office across the street, and the head vet bought tickets for all of them. There was 12 of them. It was really fantastic. So like I sat with this group of people, they were so awesome. But the funniest thing was they had no clue who anybody was that was there. Nobody.
but
you're talking like, you know, a Hall of Famer. And Chris Cooley, I mean, come on, like you can't be in this area. Like, I'm California girl, but I know who Chris Cooley is.
Right, right. There are a lot of celebs from the local sports world. I understand that. Yeah, Chris Cooley, yep. Of course, ex-Redskin tight end. I think Brooks Robinson was there.
That hands down, standing ovation for him. To listen to John Walton talk about his stats, holy shit, to be in the within 50-foot radius of this guy, you're just like, this is amazing. It really was. And everybody was very, was very cool and whatever. But it was just very funny that this group that I wound up sitting with had no idea when they started to talk about they introduced Joe B, and they introduced Rob Carlin and Alan May, and they're going down this list of people that they want to talk about, and they're just like, who, who are these? And I was like, okay, well, if you're not into hockey, then maybe you don't know. But it was just very funny. And then when we started getting to like the athletes, they were still just like shaking their heads, like no clue. And then at that time, I'm thinking, shit, this is when I wish you were there so we could just be like nerding out like, oh my God, it's,
Yeah, I really did want to be there. It wasn't in the cards financially. And I hate to bring this up now, we're coming up on the renewal with Podbean, so I'm going to mention it now and maybe a couple of times in the coming weeks. But and this is why I ask. But we really are what I said we are, and we're fan made. Mm-hmm. We're self sustaining. We do this on our own time. We don't get paid for this. We're not supported by anybody. We don't have any sponsors. And so, I mean, it's almost a little too self-serving, but I have to ask you, the listener, if you find it in the goodness of your heart, please do make a donation to our show, if anything, so we can not only make it better, but we have something, some resources, so we can go to things like this and represent you, the Caps fan. you know, right. and things like that. So we, you know, not only make a name for ourselves, but get the word out there. You know, there was a reason you were there. And I think it was more appropriate for you to be there because you had the backstory. You had the story with David and his illness that took his life. And so you've had firsthand experience. And this is a worthwhile charity because it deals with rare diseases that don't, you know, sound familiar, that don't have the backing. They don't get the attention. You know, they don't have all of the spotlight that other diseases have. So they don't have the funding. So they're dependent on events like this to not only spread awareness, but maybe draw in the necessary money that, you know, is needed for research to one day hopefully find a cure. And as of course,
I don't
Mrs.
know.
Mrs. L has one of these rare cancers.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and it's and she looked fantastic. And you know what, Courtney, she's beautiful. I mean, not that she's like, when I've seen her on TV, I never thought that she was attractive, but she's like really walking by, she was talking to people. There's something, just a cool vibe from her. It was very cool. Mocker's speech was very heartfelt. And I, you know, I'll nerd out and say that I will say the highlight was Vrana during the auction, because now here you have Joe B and John Walton with microphones, you know, up towards the front, and they're doing the auction. So everybody had paddles to say, like, you know, here's, I don't know. I my paddle was unused. Let's just say use it for other things. Kidding. So anyways, it's like, you know, they're starting off the bids at like 150, but anyway, it was a signed Vrana jersey and a signed picture of him with a Stanley Cup. Plus he was there at looking adorable. Oh, so cute. Anyways. So I had my fangirl moment on that one, and he was, so he's standing up there, he's holding the jersey, and you know, they're just like, all right, come on. His bidding started, I think, at like 150. Do you know that there were two or three women battling back and forth, that the final amount that his jersey and the pitcher sold for was like 2,600?
Somehow I am not surprised.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And it was like, and the way they're holding it up, like it was just so casual, like it was just really no big deal. And I was like, oh, it's like, this is insane. Like I paid like $35 last year at the Dallas Expo to just like stand next to him, take a picture. And here are these women just like, wow, it's no big deal. But you know what? He was just so great about it. And in the end, they raised over $150,000.
Oh, fantastic. That's going to be a solid, solid start for that charity.
Absolutely. And they, you know, they kept it local. Like I was like, but I wonder why it's here. And it's because that was, you know, that where is where Craig and Linda, that's where they live.
Right.
This restaurant was popular. Yep.
They live in my home county, Anne Arundel.
Supporting local but everybody, I mean, honestly, not that anybody was going to come over and like, you know, willingly be like, why are you standing here by yourself? Everybody who walked by, you know, it was very friendly. It was not a pretentious crowd. But when you have a chance to stand next to, you know, Rod Langway, and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And Andre, like, I mean, it really, I nerded out then, and I was okay that I wasn't taking their picture. I was just watching them enjoy, you know, just being there. So no photo, although I do have a picture of John Walton, but
I might have had 1,000 too many trips to the bar after that, just to be able to handle it.
If I didn't have a 2-hour drive, I would have.
Yeah.
And it was raining. So I was like, I can have a beer and then whatever. But anyways, I've taken up way too much time on this topic, but it was awesome and we're good.
I was about to say, we could talk about this all night because I'd love to hear it. But unfortunately, tempus fugit, so we have to move on. All right. So, and speaking of moving on, yes, we have to talk about the on-ice product. sometime. So no more stalling. Okay, so the week that was three games played. Sunday against the Penguins, 4-3 loss. Tuesday against the LA Kings, nice comeback, 4-2 win. And then there was last night. So because we're kind of limited in time and resources this week, especially, we're going to dispense with the usual recaps of the games. We're going to focus on last night, somewhat, at least as far as the result, because I believe this to be a symptom of their overall play. Now, speaking of which, in their last 18 games, well, let's start with when they've come back, since they've come back from the All-Star break.
Okay.
Okay, so that first week. So it's, okay, we're talking six games. First game back, win against Montreal. Second game back, loss at home against Nashville. So 1-1. Mm-hmm. Go on the road again against Ottawa. Win there, 5-3. Come back home against Pittsburgh. Lose again. They win again at home against the Kings and lost last night at home.
Right.
So based on that alone, they're playing 500 hockey. And if you go back to the last 18 games, they're 10-8 and their goals against average is 3.5. Look, I know it's February, but ladies and gentlemen, that ain't going to cut it. When you consider that the playoffs are about 6 weeks away. That is not going to cut it. And unfortunately, we don't have a whole lot of time to break down everything, besides which both you and I in our own room and in other rooms have mentioned stuff that is the cause.
Mm-hmm.
Let me put out this plea one more time. You people that look, and I'm, let me preface this. I am not a Holtby apologist. I love the guy. I love what he's done for the team. I love what he represents socially in the community, but I'm not one of these guys that is Holtby or bust. Okay. I want to see whoever has the best chance to win. Unfortunately, it looks like that's unfortunately for Holtby. That is, it looks like that guy is Samsonov. But I'm not one of these guys that says, look, there's nothing Holtby's doing wrong. A couple of those goals last night, yeah, he could have played them a little bit better. But if anyone thinks that last night was all on Braden Holtby, then you were not paying attention to the game. Definitely. I'm sorry. You don't know how to watch a hockey game. And I don't friggin' care right now if I piss any of our listeners off by saying this, but you don't know a damn thing about hockey if that is what you took away from last night's game. If that's the only thing you took away from watching the game, then you don't know what you're looking at. I mean, did you see Radko Gudas throw the puck up the middle and give away the puck? Did you see, and I fucking posted this for those who did miss it, but did you see the 20 feet of space that Claude Giroux had in front of Braden Holtby when he scored his goal? Did any of you see that? You know what that's called? That's called bad defense. For those of you who are not familiar with this term, say it with me, bad defense. And there ain't a goddamn thing you can do as a goalie when you've got bad defense in front of you, except hope that you become a 6x4 foot wall. All right? Am I making myself clear? Am I making myself heard here?
Absolutely. I'm not debating you on this one.
Well, okay.
Absolutely
then,
not.
Then you will. Then, well, all right. Well, then you will debate me on this. Okay. There seems to be an element still that thinks, oh, this is just the usual midseason slump. There's nothing to worry about. Caps don't need to do anything. It'll self-correct. like it's the fucking U.S. economy, right? It'll self-correct magically over time? Come on. No, I think we all know, or you should know by now, something is wrong with this team. They have been playing just barely better than 500 hockey. And even when they do win, they still look like dog shit. Okay?
Okay.
They still look like dog shit when they win. Look, I love Alex Ovechkin. I love that he is making history with every game, but that ain't the whole team, okay? He ain't the whole team. And we cannot expect him, as we saw last night, to bail this team out and come up with a multiple goal game all of the friggin' time. And certainly not in the goddamn playoffs.
Agreed.
And didn't I explain this on when we were on Sports on the Hill last week?
Yes.
Or whenever it was. Two weeks ago. For Dr. King's birthday.
Yes.
You cannot expect to rely on your offense to come through like that come playoff time. Because what happens is defensive play starts clamping down like a steel vise. And you don't get all the chances. Because the games matter more. Now, I get we're still in the first 2 weeks of February. But the games need to start to matter. You know why? Because all of the teams behind the Caps are starting their playoff run now. Pittsburgh was left for dead
right.
4 weeks ago with all of their injuries. Look where they are now.
Right. Right up our ass.
And without any toilet paper.
With a stomach flu. Now, I will... Like, I'm not going to 100%.
Am I right here?
Is there something wrong? Is that what you're asking?
I'm not saying this team is in danger of missing the playoffs. I am not saying that.
I got it.
I am saying there is something wrong with this team. And though they will probably make the playoffs, if they continue to play like this, they will not get anywhere in the playoffs. I said 3 or 4 weeks ago, if things don't improve, time of death, second round. I don't even know if they'll get out of the first round if they keep on doing this. If this becomes a permanent habit. Am I the only one that sees this?
No.
Okay, no. Then.
No, and I think when I look back and like I started to think about this, and usually I don't, you know, I don't have notes when I go into the podcast with you because I'm just like, bup. I never know what's going to kind of.
We're both just kind of like, bup. But anyway,
a little improv. But I wrote some things down and I started to think about, okay, there is something about that win-loss. It's that lack of consistency. That is, you know, I've said it. A disgusting amount of times how much consistency and chemistry are these C words that need to come back into the vocabulary of the coaches and the players and to get them back on track. Because whatever is going on, which I don't understand on the D-line end of it, you know, you have Carlson and Kempney, there wasn't anything that stirred these guys up with Gudas and Siegenthaler. It was, I don't know what I'm missing. Like, I don't know what's lacking there. Cause everything seemed okay. The first half, what switched in the second half? I have no idea. You know, I have no idea. So, but the chemistry and the consistency are the frustrating things. And I will say, I did see a comment and I wish I had this person's name and I didn't. But I was reading comments on a Caps fans site, and the person made reference to the fact that even though, and this was a commentator was making the comment from last night, and this person was expressing it, even though the games that we did win, we probably shouldn't have because we didn't give it, you know, 60 minutes of hockey for one, and it was like on a fluke. I mean, it was like, what are the chances that Alex Ovechkin is going to get like a hat trick in the last, you know, I mean, is it brilliant? Yes. Is it frustrating as fuck? Yes. Because, you know, why are we down? And all of a sudden it's like, now we're to kick it into gear and holy shit, look at the grade eight does this, but let's not let that override the fact that we should have had that Kings game locked in from the first period and we didn't. You know, so that's like, you know, just that one example of things. And, you know, whenever the Penguins come, it's like, oh, we all hate it. But even for myself, I will say I was nervous because there's something about this mental fucking brain fog that they have whenever they have an afternoon game. And the rest of the season, we're playing Pittsburgh at 12:30. So that sucks. So get out of that. Like, what is that? What is it about afternoon games that has, it's like, it's not like we're asking the guys like, hey, could you guys come play at 2:15 AM? That'd be great. We're asking you to play at noon. Like, get over it. You know, practices are before
I know
that.
This is, and I know this is a sore spot with you, Anna.
I know the coaches.
But yeah, that's the job of the coaches. It is the coach's job to prepare this team, make sure, all right, hey, we're not going to have practice. Here's why, the time difference, but I need you to be here, team meeting, blah, blah, blah. Pay attention to these tendencies. Look out for this. Look out for that. Get a good night's sleep. Don't stay out too late. For God's sake, don't drink anything.
But these are grown men. Like, they shouldn't have to have a, you know, a good night basket of like, here's your water to stay hydrated. And
I'm not.
But you are, though, if you're telling them that they have to have, you know, don't stay out late, don't drink alcohol. We don't have this. We need to be up at this time. These guys know what they're doing. The fuck, they live on the road. You know, they know exactly what they're doing. So I cannot put this on the coaches. I will say Todd Reardon was at the event. He also was awesome. And he's also very tall. But anyways, I watched him lose his shit last night. And I have to say, that was great. That was kind of a moment that I respected. But I will say for the other coaches, yeah, I don't really know. But I put so much of this, I will always be, you know, 80-20, 90-10 pro coach, because these are grown fucking athletes. They know what they have to do. So if they're, you know, so if, who knows, something's going on at home, something's going on with another player, deal with it. Figure it out. Get back to how it used to be, because right now, whatever it is, it's contagious and it's hitting everybody. Everybody's mood sucks. They all don't, like last night's game, they did not look like they wanted to be there. And is it because everyone's over talking about 700 goals? We went through this with Ovechkin. 600 goals, 500 goals. The focus becomes him, and he, and I don't think he wants it, to be honest. I'm not saying he's like, oh, everything should be about me. It's the complete opposite. You know, he's just like, whatever, I'm here, I'll get it. However, if it's an empty netter, you know, bounces off my knee, bounces off my whatever, you know, eventually get it, but let's stop talking about it. And maybe that's what's kind of throwing the team off. I have no idea. Consistency and chemistry, communication, maybe those are the three C's that need to come back.
They have to get it back. Whatever it was that they had at the beginning of the season, they have to get it back. Or maybe it was like I said all along, winning is a good deodorant. It covered up the stink of how they actually played. And I don't know what it is. And I'm frankly, I'm tired of trying to figure it out, but I don't know what it is that makes this team clamp down on defense when Samsonov is in the net. I don't know. Right now, I don't care. Okay. If one of the cures, in fact, let's go ahead and have them do that. You know, Lisa, you're going to kill me right now, but
sorry.
They've got to sit Holtby down. Have Samsonov start the next five out of the next 5 to 7 games out of the next 8 or 9.
Yeah.
All right. And let him face the stiffest competition. Let him see if he's ready for that. And if he's not, then he's not. This is one of the questions I posed in our mini roundtable we had about a month and a half ago. So maybe it's time.
Well, I thought maybe it was time. Like, he should have gone up against the Preds and, you know, and been ready, started it off with them and then played the Penguins rather than kind of, you know, flip-flopping things around. I agree with you. He needs to be in for more than just a game, and then Holtby does great and then he falls apart and then we bring him in and let's give him, you know, what, the next week against with the Islanders, give him a taste.
Yeah, give him a taste of what playoff hockey is going to be like.
Yeah.
Because you're going to start sometimes back-to-back nights, if not every other night.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that's one thing that needs to change, and it's not going to be the first time that we've seen Holtby benched when we had Grubauer. It happens sometimes. Everyone who is a Holtby lover, as you know, I am, he gets that negative headspace, and it is whatever it is to get out of it. But maybe it is for him to be benched or just to sit out the games or healthy scratch or however you want to phrase it, so it doesn't seem so negative, and sit back and watch, you know, how the team chemistry is different. Like, I mean, we don't know. Like, why do they play differently? You know, Samsonov in there and not Holtby when they've had Holtby for so long, is, you know, so there's, I agree, there's something out there.
Is it because they're used to Holtby being there? That they just, maybe they trust him too much?
Exactly.
Or over-rely on him too much?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
I don't think that they're disrespecting Holtby. I think that they just expect him to play as well as he did in, you know, the 17-18 season. If we keep comparing him to how he was and then he won us the cup from 2 years ago, we're not moving forward.
15-year wife syndrome? They take him that much for granted? Right. What the hell?
Yeah. I mean, but I just don't think that we can hold on to what happened in 2018. I think we have to say no one is taking the credibility away from Braden Holtby, and nobody ever will. He is forever going to be the, you know, Stanley Cup goalie of the Washington Capitals in 2018. However, it's not fair to put that on him than 2019 and now 2020. It's like, come on, you know, you have it, and this is how it, you know, this is, you move forward, and he's getting older, and I'm not saying that he's going anywhere, and Lisa, I love him, trust me. But we can't keep holding on to, you know, the save and all these things. Yes, it's acknowledged. No one is taking it away from him. But almost two years later, you can't hold him to the same expectation. It's not fair to him. And maybe that's what's getting in his head.
And at the same time, while you can't hang on to the past, you can't worry about the future either, because all you've got is what's right in front of you, what's right now.
Well, but hold on, because here you are saying that the team is, you know, are you the only one that sees this? And what the fuck when it comes to playoffs being 6 weeks away? I'm taking a different stance and saying the Capitals need to take it game by game. We can't be thinking about what's going to happen in 6 weeks and, you know, in the Metro Division and where we are.
The 6 weeks is also what's right in front of them. What's right in front of their dashboard. Okay.
Yeah, but if
that's going to fly by before you know it.
Of course it is. But, you know, we had this shitty game last night. I mean, it was awful. And I hated the fact that I watched it, and I hated the fact that I was like, maybe we'll pull out, you know, maybe we'll, you know, pull a rabbit from the hat. And no, it wasn't in the cards last night. Okay, so we're going to move forward. Now we just need to focus on the Islanders game tomorrow and how we played against them in the past. And I don't even want to hear about the 700 goals. I don't give a shit how much the tickets are going for.
Agreed. That
I want them to focus on this.
That shit is getting old, and I'm sick and tired. I am sick and tired of NBC. DC, NBCSN DC, it was like, oh, follow Ovechkin's path to 700 goals. I am tired of hearing that. I want to see it happen. I would love to see it happen live. Trust me. I will be hitting the ceiling when I do see it, whether it's home or on the road. But God damn it, this team is falling apart.
Yeah. Stop talking about it. And
stop,
I will tell you,
he's talking about it like it's the whole team.
He doesn't, for who he is as a player and who he is as a person, you know, he doesn't want that. You know, he doesn't want that, you know, on him. And it's the focus because he's such a team player. But it maybe that's just what it is. Maybe the shift is like, okay, is he going to get it? And the price of tickets and everyone's this and not sold out game. It's like, okay, well, you know what? Where were these fans, you know, when we were at goal 612? You know, were they that amped up? No, they just want to go so then they can say that they were there for goal 700 and sell their ticket stub or whatever the fuck they want to do on eBay when people are lame.
And these are the same people that frustrates me. These are the same people that say trade Holtby now.
Exactly.
Because his save percentage sucks.
Exactly.
How are you supposed to save something when you're left out to dry and somebody's 2 feet in front of you? And you've got a split second to react.
Exactly. I mean, I looked at some of those things last night, like, hey, now, is this just like a one-on-one, you know, flyer player and Holtby? Because I'm not seeing any of the defensive line.
That's why I posted what I posted on the page.
Yeah, no, I agree. But the unfortunate thing was, had you had that one situation, you're like, God damn, like Claude Drew, like you knew. I mean, here's someone that you cannot take your eyes off of because of his skills and his record and his stats and whatever. And we're looking at basically one-on-one hockey, not fair. And then you'd think at that time, you'd be like, holy shit, we need to really get it together. And there was like radio sounds to put on the coaches for not getting the players riled up. I don't know. We don't know what was said on the bench or between commercials. I put it on the players. Like, holy shit, John Carlson, you wear an A on your sweater. Like, come on. You need to tell these guys, like, wake the fuck up. Like, if you're going to be leading, and, you know, I can't put it on Kempe. I think he's been fantastic in the Kings game, and I thought he was good last night. Siegenthaler got a little bit heated, and that was a little disappointed. You know, kind of thing. And I don't know, but they need to shake this shit off and come back tomorrow. And I don't want to hear anything about Ovechkin. I want to hear that, you know, they're coming in, head in the game, playing consistent 60 minute hockey. That's all I care about.
Well, that's all I want to see and hear too, but I just have a bad feeling it's going to be a while. So we're starting to run out of time. So yeah. some quick cures. Okay, as I already said, sit Holtby down, 10-game stretch, have Samsonov play the more highly regarded opponents.
Right.
Let Holtby take more of a mentor role, at least in the short term. Let Samsonov taste the higher level of quality competition. Let him go through that stretch. Give him a taste of what it's going to be like in the playoffs, at least in the short term.
I agree.
That's number one. Number two, I get that they're shaking things up with the defense, and I love, love, love that Martin Favari is getting a look.
Yep.
But
however,
I don't know if this is being handled the right way. The defense acts like they are out of place. They act like they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what to expect. So clue them in maybe as to what's going on, what they can expect to see, what they can expect to do. Look, you're going to yell at me for this, but I think the guy running the things does not have a clue.
I know.
And that's Mr. Cashman.
Yes.
Another C word. I could call him another C word right now, but this is a family show. Anyway, if he doesn't get his shit together, I think he should pack his shit and take his shit elsewhere.
You with the swearing tonight. I'm impressed.
Well, if we had our sensor back, that's to have more beeps than a Baltimore City traffic jam.
Okay.
Anyway. So fix number two. Fix number three. That Oshie being on the first line. Okay. That's a nice little experiment. Don't stick with that. Don't do that too much.
Okay.
I get that in the short term, yes, we've gotten results on the first line, but anybody notice that young number 43 has kind of been less and less and less and less effective
these last
15 games or so?
I would say I am one of those people.
Yeah, and I think that's because he doesn't know what the hell to expect either. So
Right. Let
help him to figure out what his role is going to be. And yes, I'm sorry, that is on the coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So fix number three. Fix number four. Do something about the damn power play. If anything, take out the fleckin' I can't even say it. Slingshot.
Right.
Get rid of that thing.
Yeah.
Give it back to Spritel and Chim Chim. There's a reference for you. Give yourself a cigar and a bowl of cherries if you figured that one out. But God damn it. Fix the damn power play. Please. There you go. Four fixes.
All right.
I'm not a hockey genius. I just play one on TV.
There you go. It's impressive. And the Oscars are on tonight, so maybe we'll see your name up there one day.
This wasn't an act. Trust
or
me.
Or was it?
No.
Kidding. I'm kidding.
Guarantee you it was not.
All right.
Okay, so previews of coming attractions. Anna, you've already mentioned one. That is tomorrow night, last of the four-game homestand, 7 o'clock puck drop against the Long Islanders.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back, Barry Trotz, again.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's the Western Road Swing trip that has been planned for some time. My buddy Pete Fisher has been putting this together. A listener of ours, Robin J. King's going out there as well. So it's a Colorado on the 13th, Arizona on the 15th. And then on my birthday, the Vegas Golden Showers, Vegas Golden Knights.
Oh.
Yeah. And then it's back home for a game against Montreal and then the Devils that next Saturday. So that's the next five games. A few quality opponents there, especially the Knights and Colorado. I think Samsonov should at least start those games and we'll see what he's up to. All right. So I'm going to remind everybody just one last time, please, please, please contact us for any questions or comments you want to have. And we are looking for donations at this time as well. Thank you so much for considering that. Anna, did you have... Oh, there's Sports on the Hill. Will probably be live.
Yeah, during the game tomorrow, yep.
During the game tomorrow. There will be that. And Anna, did you have anything else to add?
Nope, I'm good.
Okay, well, so we're going to wrap it up here. So this is the Blue Liner on Point speaking to you out there in the DMV, the state of Maryland, District of Columbia, and the Commonwealth of Virginia. And reminding you, you can argue all day about what to call a medieval soldier. But it's getting late, so we're going to have to call it a night. Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.